Okay. Good morning, everybody, and welcome. This morning, I want to share around something fundamental to our faith, and it's the three pillars of our faith. It's called faith, hope, and love. But before we continue, let us just pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity we have to come together in your name, knowing that you are with us. And that you have sent your word to come and produce life in us. As rains brings life to the earth, so your word brings life to our souls, our very beings. And Lord, so we pray, Lord, as we humbly receive your word, Lord, we thank you that it will accomplish its purpose in us. And we want to give you the glory for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Faith, hope, and love. It's a powerful summary of Christianity. But also, not just the fruit of Christianity, the essence of Christianity, the three pillars of our faith, the outflow of Christianity in its most powerful and pure way, faith, hope, and love. And this is something in the world that we find ourselves in, the time that we live, that is so desperately needed, these three things. If we think about this life that we live in, the world that we live in the times that we're in, these three things is what the world needs now. Faith, hope, and love. The absence of these three will always lead to a negative. But on the opposite, you know, if you take away faith, hope, and love, it will lead to conflict. It will lead to despair and chaos. But if you bring love into conflict and hope into despair and faith into chaos, you change the outcome of the circumstance. And so as Christians, we are called to abide in these three, faith, hope, and love, but also to live it to its full. I mean, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13 says so powerfully, now abide in faith, hope, and love in these three. So that's kind of, as Christians, what we are called to abide in, grow in, and continue in. So in the midst of this world, we are Christians, are called to be salt and light. We are called to be different to the world, different to the darkness. But we're also called to bring flavor to this world, and more specifically, to preserve what is good in the midst of this world. And therefore, we're called to be light and salt, to be different, and to bring flavor through our faith, our hope, and our love. To be the opposite of darkness. And now, more than ever before, in the midst of fear and turmoil, we as Christians are called to action. It reminds me of 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 8, that says, "But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of our salvation." All three, again, powerfully illustrated in the form of making ready for action, preparing ourselves to live it to the full. We need to be sober in this time and not be intoxicated by the world's fear and anger, but to respond in faith, hope, and love. To put on our breastplates and our helmets, to prepare for action, to be ready for our purpose. Now, I remember when I was in the army, when we received the call to put on our gear, and it wasn't a breastplate, but it was a battle jacket and a helmet and a weapon, but when we were called to action, no matter whether we were relaxing, playing cards, or reading a book, the moment that call came, we understood that we are going to fulfill our purpose of being in the military. And so, too powerfully, God calls us to action, to put on our breastplates and our helmets of faith, hope, and love, and to be ready for our purpose. And so, I believe God is calling us also in this time for that very purpose. In 1 Thessalonians 1, from verse 1 to 3, we read Paul writing to the church in Thessalonians, and he says, "To the church of Thessalonians, in God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, and patience of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God our Father." And here it mentions again the three pillars of our faith: faith, hope, and love. But it mentions it in a very practical setting. Your work of faith, your labor of love, and your patience of hope. And I want us to look a little bit closer to this because I believe God is calling us to this in this very time. What does this mean? Your work of faith. Well, the work of faith is our work characterized by faith, but also prompted by faith. It is the way we live because of our faith in God. When we choose to live differently to the world because of our faith in God and His Word and His character, we choose to live the way Jesus taught us to live. And that choice is based on faith. Faith in God, faith in His character, faith in His Word. And because of that faith in Him, we choose to live differently to the world, to live righteously, to live honestly, to live in humility, and to live in love. To even love our enemies. Not to retaliate when we're wrong, and to forgive. These are all works of faith. To live in a way that only faith could have enabled us to accomplish. Because of our faith in Christ and His teaching, we live differently because of what He teaches us to be. I wonder if you can think of ways that you can grow in your works of faith. If you have to think of the way you live differently to the world that is inspired by your faith, are there things that comes to mind where you realize that you have been living and working in faith by this definition? But also, are there areas in your life that you can possibly grow in this? Because this is the time that we need to live our life and to work the works of faith. That brings us to the second point, and that is to labor of love. Labor brings a different concept to work. Labor entails toil. It is the cost of work that comes at great effort. As a young child, I was fortunate to grow up in the city and on the farm. In the week, I was in the city, and on the weekends and holidays, I was on our farm. And I learned the difference between work and toil. When I was at school, I used to work, but when I got to the farm, there I had to labor. And so I realized the difference between work and labor. Work is something that's not necessarily that physical or hard, but when you labor on the farm, it comes at great expense of energy, with sweat and determination. And so here it puts love in this context, that we should labor in love. Labor costs energy and determination. The labor of love is to lovingly labor in what costs us something. It is to toil, to undertake for the sake of love. It is our labor, the labor that we do in the spirit of love. It is that what we do for others, sometimes even at the cost of ourselves, not for anything that we gain, but for the sake of love itself. And this is what the world needs so desperately. And it is so beautiful to see in this world when someone serves and labors beyond the call of duty simply because of love. That is so precious and so rare these days. But that is exactly what God has called us to. In John 15, verse 12, Jesus says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love is no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." And then in John 13, verse 34, of course, Jesus says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." If you love at the cost of yourself, beyond what is expected of you, motivated by love, that is what the world notices and makes such a profound impact around us. And then thirdly, this concept of being patient in hope. this patience of hope in us. Patience of hope is this hopeful endurance of trials and tribulations. In the midst of a difficult circumstance, we remain positive because of the hope that we have. That stands out in this world and is so desperately needed. A hope that is grounded in our faith in God. This hope is not just wishful thinking, but this hope is grounded in our faith in God, in His Word and His character, in the promises that He's made. This gives us great hope in the midst of trials and tribulations, and it keeps us positive when the world around us turns so negative so easily. This hope is based on the fact that God loves us, that He is with us, that He will strengthen us to overcome our circumstances, and that He will turn everything for our good. And even more so, that we are just strangers passing through this life, and that we are going to meet Him for eternity to be with Him. And that there's nothing in this world that we can gain or lose that can compare to this. This hope is powerful in what it produces in us. This hope makes us resilient and positive no matter what the circumstances we may face. And that makes us different. It makes us different to those around us that are so negative in the midst of this circumstances that we face ourselves in. In 1 Peter 3 verse 15 to 16 we read, "But in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that to those who speak maliciously against you, against your good behavior in Christ, may be ashamed of their slander." And here again, it encourages us to live a life in hope that is different. And I pray that we may live our lives in such a way with this hope that keeps us positive in the midst of our circumstances where others are negative, that they can see this hope that is based in our faith in God, that they will ask us for the reason. They will ask us for the reason why we are so hopeful. Why are we so positive? So that we can give an answer to the reason for this hope in us. It's because we believe in God. Because of His Word and His promises, because of His character. That's why we have this hope. And that's why we remain positive. The three abiding principles of the Christian life. Faith, hope, and love. And how do we grow in these things? Well, the Word of God gives us insight in how we grow in this as we read in Colossians chapter 1 from verse 3. "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Jesus Christ and your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you have heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you, as it is also in all the world and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you since the day you have heard and knew of the grace of God in truth." And it says to us how we can grow in our love, faith, and hope. It is through the gospel. It is through the word that has been delivered to us. As we grow in our understanding and time in the word of God, we grow in this faith and this hope and love. And also, so importantly, Paul says he is praying for all the believers. He is praying that the love and the faith and the hope will grow in us. So I want to encourage us. Let us spend time in God's word to grow in this. But also, let us pray for one another. Let us encourage one another that we may grow in faith, hope, and love. Let's just meditate upon that as you close your eyes and ask God, how can we grow in these three areas? And then I'm going to close in prayer. Father, I pray that in this week to come that you will, by your Spirit, Lord, stir in us our faith, our hope, and our love that can only be found in a relationship with you. God, I pray that faith, hope, and love will not just be a knowledge of your word, but it would flow from an encounter with you. Lord, that you will come and impart into us more of you, that our faith may grow, that it may lead to this great hope and love to those around us. God, I pray that we will respond to this call to put on love and faith and hope. And Lord, that we will be purposefully sober in this time to deliberately live in faith, hope, and love. God, I pray that it will be so evident in us that people will not just notice the difference, but that they will ask us for the reason why we are so different. And Lord, that you will grant us the boldness in meekness and gentleness to explain your love and your mercy and your grace, your promises, and the faith that we have in you. And God, I pray in this time that we will truly become the fragrance of Christ in the midst of fear, and that people will turn to you to also find faith, hope, and love in and through you. We ask you this in Jesus' name. Amen. I also just want to encourage you in this week to come. We would love to hear testimonies of what God is doing in your life, and to be able to share that with the rest of the family. And so we want to ask you if you have a testimony or God is laying something specifically on your heart for us as a church during this time, won't you make us a little a video of no longer than 2 minutes? Or if you're really shy, maybe a voice note, just sharing what you believe God is laying on your heart, or if there's a testimony during this time. And we'd love to edit that, and if you would grant us to prayerfully pray to discern which testimonies to use at which time. We would love to start our services also with some time of edification from the body. So please, if you have some words or a testimony, please send us a video, a short video or a voice note, please no longer than 2 minutes, and we'll happily share that with the family. But I trust that as you continue in this week, that you will grow closer to the Lord, and that we may grow in this faith, hope, and love that we are called to live. May God bless you.